And we are here today with the wonderful Sandy Upshaw, who I think is our first guest to do a part two.
Yay!
Which is so fun. So you are coming back to do a part two just of your life and your testimony. You were here with me, we just figured 10 months ago, which is crazy that it's been that long.
I know.
It's Table Talk episode 80. So you can go back, if you didn't get to see the first part, go back and watch that and then come back and watch this one. But so thankful that we get to hang out again.
I know, me too.
It's fun.
It's crazy meeting like this.
I know, right? It's fun. We have a good time together. Okay, so I went back and watched the first one just so I would remember where we left off. And you were finishing up or getting ready to start telling us about December of 2022 and why that month and season was a huge shift for you.
Yes. It literally changed my life forever. It started simply, I think I had told y'all a little bit, my husband, my precious James, was really sick at that time. And I had a lady that had to come and stay when I would leave the house. And so this particular morning, I was going to play cards. And I love to play a canasta with all my church friends. It's great fun. But my phone rang at 5:30 in the morning, and it scared me. And it was my doctor, my internist, and I've had him for many, many years. He knows me well. And he said, your numbers were a little off. I had gone in for a physical. And he said, I need you to see a hematologist today. Mm. And I said, okay.
So, is that a blood doctor?
Blood.
Okay.
Yeah. So I called the doctor. He was leaving that day. At this point, it's like December the 20th. And he said, I'll be back the middle of January. I'm going away. I said, great. I don't have time to go to the doctor anyway.
That's right.
So I forgot it. And well, that was the day before. So the day of the cards, the doctor called me back. And this time he said, I need you to come to Methodist right now.
Wow.
And I said, I can't do that. And he said, what do you mean you can't do that? I said, I have something very important to do today. And he said, this is more important. I said, but they can't do it if I'm not there. And he was mad, really mad. And he said, call me when you're done. And he hung up on me. So I went and played cards, called him that afternoon. It's already 3:30. Do you want me to go to Methodist now or wait till tomorrow? He said, get your fanny to Methodist now. And so I said, okay, don't be so rude. So anyway, I went. They admitted me. I had no idea what was going on.
Yeah.
I had no one to stay with James. Yasmin, the lady that takes care of him, said, I can stay till 7. So she left at 7 o'clock. He was all alone that first night. My daughter, on that same day, I ran in the house to get ready to go to the doctor. And she was laying on the floor in my bedroom. And James is just looking like he's in a fog. He doesn't know what's going on. And she's completely wet with sweat. Mm. And I said, what is wrong? And I just stopped everything. And she said, I'm just sick, Mom. I'm going to go home. Her friend was coming to pick her up and take her. So I went ahead and left. I thought she was fine.
Right.
As it turned out, she had a heart attack.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm at Methodist, and she's in Southeast with a heart attack.
Oh, my gosh.
But I don't know that once I left the house.
Sure.
I thought that she was home and everything was fine. So in thinking back on these things yesterday, I didn't even remember some of it until yesterday, and I was thinking a little bit through, and I realized that a lot's happened that I'll tell y'all about, but today I want to focus on strength and hope. And I couldn't be here. I went in Methodist, as I told y'all a few minutes ago. They took, within 2 hours, they took 10 vials of blood, then 10 more vials of blood, then put me in a room in 30 minutes from the ER in Methodist, unheard of. And then about 5 o'clock in the morning, they took 10 more vials. And my doctor came in, and the first thing he said is, I hope I didn't mess your day up yesterday. I'm sorry. And I said, well, do you want to know the truth? Because I didn't tell you the exact truth. He said, what? I said, I went and played cards with my girlfriend. He said, well, did you win? Just like that. Yeah, I did. So anyway, they didn't tell me anything for 3 days.
Oh, my gosh.
And so I was in just turmoil and all of that. But they did come in about 1 o'clock with 2 quarts of blood. And it horrified me. And I said, what's that? They said, blood. And I said, I've never had blood. And they said, well, you're going to have it now. And I didn't know it. Your levels tell you a lot. I was about drained out. I mean, I was really, really low. I had no idea. I had no symptoms, no physical symptoms that I was aware of. I was used to caring for James, so I was used to being tired all the time. And so the 3 days later, they gave me a diagnosis of acute myeloid leukemia. And I couldn't even fathom what they were saying because it was such a shock. And I said, so what does this mean? Mm-hmm. And she said, well, it's cancer. And the other one spoke up and said, it is the rarest cancer in the world.
Oh, gosh.
And I thought, I always like to be different.
Right.
But not in that way.
That's right.
But anyway, so then it kind of shocked me into reality. And I said, so how long does someone live with this? And she said, you might make it 15 months.
Oh, my gosh.
Well, I felt like somebody threw a pan of scalding hot water in my face. I cried. But all I could think of is, what am I going to do about my husband? Right. My husband's alone. Mm-hmm. I thought, if I'm going to die pretty soon, who's going to take care of him? I didn't want him being in a home somewhere and having to die like that. I knew he was very serious. The whole thing just blew me away. But my first visitors that came popping through the door when I least expected it was Kelly and Wes Holloman. Mm-hmm. They've always been there, and they are so wonderful.
Yeah.
But anyway, when they gave me that, I realized that right now, today, I shouldn't be here.
Sure. It's been longer than 15 months.
Yeah, it's going to be 3 years this December. And the Lord really is the only reason I'm here. You know, for a while, I said in the other session that we have, but God. And it's true. If it weren't for the good Lord, my Lord and Savior, I wouldn't be here today. And there's not a day that goes by that I don't wake up and the first thing I say is, thank you, Lord, for another day. Right. And it's a very humbling experience. Mm-hmm. To realize that we are immortal.
Yes, so, right? So, we all have a last day.
So he is my strength and he is my hope. And I think all of that realizing about strength and hope came to my mind a week ago or 2 weeks ago whenever we lost that wonderful young man, Charlie Kirk. And it made me realize that every day is a gift, and especially for me, because the Lord has allowed me to live longer than the doctors predicted, and the Lord has allowed me to, I don't look sick, I don't feel sick, I run like a little road runner, it seems like all the time. I've had the opportunity to travel and do things, but I've also had the presence of mind to witness to people wherever I go and let them know that no matter what is wrong with them, they're not alone. Mm-hmm. And when we go on trips with the church, John Mark always has his hand out the little books about peace with God. And it's fun to hand them out. And it's fun to see people's reaction. Of course, you can't watch news daily every day because you'd get depressed.
And,
but that's just maybe 5% of the bad stuff is nothing compared to the 95% that the Lord gives us daily to make it. So, when that happened, though, my world felt pretty dark, pretty broken. I don't tend to get depressed because I am a pretty positive person. I'll be real, well, an example, I'd be real mad at James or be real upset. And I couldn't blame him because he was sick, but he would be angry. Mm-hmm. And I would be upset and depressed for maybe 5 minutes, and something would happen and I would forget right. about it and yeah. go on laughing. So suffering from the pain and the tragedy, I realized what a gift that I did have. And the Bible told us, you know, in Matthew 7:7, that all we have to do is ask. And it says to us that anything we ask, it'll be given to us. And he says, seek and you will find me. You have to actively look for the Lord. You have to actively want to have his presence in your life. And it always says, you know, I'm going to answer your prayer, but you have to talk to me. So on that day, I believe it was the 22nd of December that they actually diagnosed me, I realized I have the greatest gift and the greatest wealth of, I can't say anybody in the world, because all of us have it. But for anybody who's listening that doesn't have that, you can have it. You know, I looked at Charlie Kirk's wife when she said, I forgive him. God forgave us of unspeakable things in our life, and yet he loves us, and yet he forgets it, and he gives us another chance. And that's the reason I think that a place where it says, we're new in the morning and our mercies are there, mm-hmm. and God forgives us every yeah. morning, gives us another Absolutely. Another chance.
Yeah.
And so it went on that Lisa was okay. I think they put a stent in and got her fixed up, and then James did live for a little while longer, but not long. He kept falling at home, and so he had gotten real bad. And they came one morning, the firemen of Pearland are so wonderful. They were on a first name basis with right. us because they came all the time. But when I was in the hospital for 12 days, mm-hmm. I was in the hospital for Christmas and New Year's. And okay. When I came home, I didn't know anything to do but to start taking care of him again.
Sure.
But I had to add in that I had to go to the hospital three times a week and check my numbers. And then they started giving me chemo, and that terrified me. And yeah. ladies, if you have cancer, I know what that feels like now. I always had compassion and felt an empathy for anybody that's sick with sure. any dreaded disease. But this has touched my heart enough to know I'm so blessed. I can't complain. If I died at 15 months, I was still blessed.
Sure.
But the Lord is allowing me to live. I'm not sure why, but I think it's he wants me to tell more people
yeah.
about the gifts that he gives us. And Romans 15:13 says, the God of hope fills you with all joy and peace and believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And I used to work for a wonderful lady named Mary Crowley. She owned a direct sales company, and it was wonderful. But she used to tell us, she was very wealthy, and she built the Mary C. Crowley Building at First Baptist Dallas and just donated it to them. But she always talked about hope, even when I was younger. And she would tell us, God didn't just own the world. He owns everything on the world. He owns the cattle that are on the hills. He owns us, and he allows us to walk about. Mm-hmm. And I love that. I think one of the main things, too, that I learned from all this, I could already be gone, but I'm not. But I want my children to know how much I love them. Mm-hmm. I want my children to know the most important gift that they could ever have is having Christ in their life. And Paul reminds us, too, that we have three things. We have faith, hope, and love. And the biggest thing that we could have that the Lord gives us is love. And you know, we probably have about the same personality, except that she's detailed and I'm not. I like to have a party all the time. I could care less about planning the party, but I like to have the yes. party. But that my gift is talking to people and letting them know what Sagemont has done for my life. This year, I think, is my 57th year at Sagemont. And that's a long time. I've only seen one pastor for, what, 53 yep. years? And then we had one in between for a little while. And now we have Pastor Levi Skipper, who, if you have never heard him, I challenge you to listen to him. Come to the church and listen to him. Listen to him on Facebook, wherever you can. It's available if you want to hear. And if you know what you have and you have the gift for it, then use it. Betsy has given me this opportunity to tell you things about my life, and I'm blessed for that. James, we sent him to the hospital the last time he had fallen. And when I was at the hospital, I wasn't ready to hear this at all. They called me out in the foyer because James had this desire. He was a big man, and all of you that knew him, he was a strong presence. And when they put him in the ambulance that day, my friend Tida was there, and he said, "Tida, please don't let them let me die in the hospital," mm-hmm. where it broke my heart. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know what was going to happen either, but that day they took me into the hall, and they told me that I needed to call in hospice. Mm-hmm. And they were suggesting putting him here and all that. I went, nope, I can't do that. I couldn't even think about putting him in hospice. I wasn't ready. He was the strongest force in my life.
Sure.
He started a business. He made me come unwillingly, kicking, mm-hmm. screaming. But I was there, and I helped him through the years, and we did well together. He used to say that when I did our deposits, that I did one for him and one for me. And it was kind of like that, but but I tried to do good things right. with it. But anyway, when they told me, I just asked him to bring him home.
Okay.
And so he was home, and then he got worse, mm-hmm. and we had to put him in Bay Wind, which is down in Bleak City. And good friends of ours were Cecil and Linda Barcelo, and Cecil and his family were so wonderful. They treated him like family. And here I am struggling with all of this. And on the day that he passed away, it was May the 1st, I had gone to a doctor's appointment, and then I came home. And I had talked to him that morning. He could barely even whisper anymore. He was so weak. They called me and told me I needed to come. And they said they had to put oxygen on him. Well, Miss Bossy didn't hear that part. And I said, "Well, have you put oxygen on
right.
him?" "Yes, we have." And so I said, "Okay." So I guess the Lord knew what he was doing. But he passed away at 5:06. And I got there about 5:15. And it was really sad. And I didn't know for about 6 months, I was somewhere with some of his staff, the staff from Bay Wind, and two of the nurses were there with him when he passed mm-hmm. away, and they said something remarkable. They said that he had been trying to get out of bed because he always thought he could get up and walk,
sure.
but instead, they were calming him, and he pulled his hands back, and he looked at each one of them, and then he looked up. And he raised his hands up like this mm. and closed his eyes and was gone.
Wow.
And I know without a shadow of a doubt that I'm not sure who exactly the Lord allows people to see.
Right.
I do know the Bible says that God sends his angels mm. to escort people home. And so I sort of feel like that. I'd like to think that he saw the Lord. I'd really like to think he saw my son, Michael, who's been in heaven for about 30
right.
years now. So I don't know that. But I know that I started trying to have to make life in a different way. And it's a different kind of journey. And, of course, I felt really alone. not necessarily abandoned, but very, very much alone, sure. Because we're not a big family. And the rest of the family, the Upshaws, I mean, you know, everybody has their own family, sure. and they can't come and check right. on you. So I was pretty much alone. Mm-hmm. And I still am, except that I feel like the Sagemont is my family, mm-hmm. because when nobody else is around, that's who's available. Right. And a lot of people don't have families. But you can always have a family if you have Jesus in your heart. Yeah. There's just no way of saying it better.
That's and I think you're really good. You are a good example of choosing to have family at your church. And I think there is something about that. It's not the sitting back and waiting mm-hmm. for someone to call me, someone to come see me, yeah. somebody to check on. You're like, no, I'm going to do this. You,
right.
you go on trips. You are up here a lot doing all kinds of different things. And I think so often, and I don't, maybe it was just your personality, but I think so often when people go through really hard things, there is maybe a tendency to sit back and say,
yes.
well, people should check on me. I just went through this thing, which is true.
Right.
But at the same time, eventually, I love that you said, well, here we go. I am still alive. I am still breathing. God does have things for me to do.
Yes. And, God's
and you got
made
up
it pretty
and went.
Clear. Yeah.
yeah.
I want you to do this. I want you to do that. And sometimes I think, I can't do that. You know, when the church went to Greece back in April, I thought, I can't do that. But maybe I can.
Right.
So, but speaking about so many people that do sit back, mm-hmm. don't sit right. back. Reach out.
Yes.
I promise you, people at this church love you. Your family loves you. And Betsy's so right. It would have been so easy. I didn't cry. I don't think I cried at all at the funeral. I know I was probably in shock.
Sure.
I think a lot of people are. But when I was home alone at night, and I would have the TV on, and I got tired of looking at TV, so I started just looking on my phone, and I don't know, I think the Lord provided this, but you would come across different things that had hymns, mm-hmm. people singing, mm-hmm. and I started singing at night with those hymns, and I felt the presence of God, I'm not kidding you, in my house with me, telling me, I'm here.
Right.
All you have to do is just keep going. Do what I tell you to do. And my friends all do get mad at me because, like, I've signed up for this new trip next year. And I say, I may not be able to go because I may not be here. And they tell me, shh. Don't say that, because there's only one person that knows when we are going to go home, and that's the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't believe in the Lord, how can you look around in the world and not see His presence
Absolutely.
Everywhere? Yeah. When you see 200,000 people come to a memorial, right. that's a pretty good example
yeah.
of how much the Lord is in the yeah. world. I believe that the young people are going to revive it.
Yeah.
And the Sagemont kids sure will.
No, it's fun.
So,
and it's, you know, I just heard a pastor recently, I was listening to something, and someone, and I've had this conversation with people, someone said, I'm excited for heaven. And we just finished our, you know, King is coming. We've been looking at heaven and all of that. And they said, I'm excited for heaven, but I also want to see my grandkids. And I also want to do this. And listen, normally when we have those conversations, we're like, I know, it's one of those. And this pastor looked back and said, then you don't know what you are missing that's going to be in heaven.
That's right.
Like, there should, we should have a desire to be with Jesus, for Jesus to return, for us to get to be with Him. Like, that really should be the biggest heart desire that we have,
right.
which is, I think for all of us, kind of one of those, okay, then that's a hard thing for us to get our head around, at least me, to get my head around. So when you say, hey, I might not be here, that's not a sad thing for you. It's a sad thing for those of us that will be here without you. But for you, I feel like you go, no, that's going to be glorious day.
Yes. At first, I was a little bit, I don't know, maybe we're all a little bit scared.
Absolutely.
We don't know what to
yes.
expect. And someone said to me, Sandy, you just close your eyes and open your eyes in heaven. And I thought about, yes. But at the same time, I do believe I've learned in this last almost 3 years now, God instills in us a desire to live. Mm-hmm. And he gives us hope every day. And as I said to some people on the trip last week to Pennsylvania, we have to stand up right now. We have to be brave and bold mm-hmm. in our convictions about this world. I've been really, really, really passionate in about the last 10 years about the sex trafficking mm-hmm. of the women and children all over the world, and mm-hmm. it breaks my heart. And we can't stop it. I don't think we'll ever be able to stop it because it's bigger than ever. But we can make a dent. Mm-hmm. And we can maybe, if we save one woman, one child, one man even, then it's worth any sacrifice that we have to do it. So I challenge anybody that hears this, get involved in it. Find out about it. Call Betsy. You know, call anyone at this church and we can... know more about it.
That's right. I heard Bill Cole was talking yesterday to a group, and he said, he goes, I always challenge my kids to spend 10,000 hours learning something to become an expert at it.
That's right.
And I was like, that is such a, and I thought about it for the last 24 hours. I thought it was such a neat statement. But I think it's even something like that. Like, hey, if you're passionate about missions or about learning more about how you can impact the sex trade, and or whatever it may be, learn about it. You can make a difference. It's not the, oh, I'm just one little person that's not going to make a difference. No, it does make a difference. Find out what you're passionate about. Learn about it. How can you be impactful in that area? Wade Owens used to always say, we don't want to make a bunch of little scratches everywhere. We want to make a dent somewhere.
That's right.
I love that.
That's what I hope that I can accomplish. And when I am gone, when y'all say, oh, she was passionate about this or she did this, or as Pastor Levi says, a party in a bag.
Yeah.
but I do like a party. But yeah. I'm also so strong, so compassionate about this. And to have found out in the last year that Houston is the biggest hub for this terrible sickness and persecution and perversion in the world is Houston, Texas. And the FBI and the police, they will call a lot of times Freedom Church Alliance. It's they make bags for go bags for mm-hmm. women that they sacrifice mm-hmm. with a Bible, with, you know, a phone number if they need to escape, different things. And so anything that I can do anymore, you know, I would give my heart and soul and everything that I own if I knew that I could save 10,000 people. But I know that's not possible. But I can make a dent.
That's right.
And you can make a dent. Right. We can all do that. It's in different ways. Some people can't speak. Some people can't give. But everybody can do something.
That's right. That's right. And we were just talking about the spiritual gift testing that we've been doing here at Sagemont, and it is very much one of those. God gave everybody gifts for a very specific reason, for them to be able to do a very specific thing, and so it's so important for us as his people to learn what those are and then do the thing.
That's right.
Go do the thing.
And we have no excuse if we have a mouth and a body that moves. So,
right.
And I was going to say earlier for the women and men who just, sometimes we just stop living mm-hmm. when we have a death or something. You can't. And we have something called Journey of Promise mm-hmm. here at Sagemont,
for our widows,
which is a wonderful organization
ministry.
For widows. And that's a great help mm-hmm. to women. It gives you sort of that sense of belonging mm-hmm. and you're not forgotten.
That's right.
You're right. I've kind of pushed my way in sometime, but I feel the love of Sagemont.
Yeah.
It's a gift to have Christian friends, mm-hmm. and I have a neighbor that I love dearly, but she doesn't believe in anything. And she told me as early as a few weeks ago, I said to her, what do you think happens when you die? Mm-hmm. And she said, nothing. I just go away. And then I listened to Pastor Levine, the sermon a few weeks ago, and he says it quite often. We have two choices, and it's either heaven or there's a literal hell. And if you don't believe, then you need to believe today, because if you don't, it's hell. And that's not a pretty picture. Look it up in the dictionary. Look it up on wherever you want to look it up. I think the Bible makes it very clear. And even the man who was in hell begged, please go back and tell my brothers, because he hated where he was.
You don't want anybody else to have to come.
And I know that we do things that we're not supposed to on earth, and sometimes even horrible things or whatever, but the devil is loose on this earth, and he's roaming every minute and wanting to destroy our testimony. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a pretty much verbal thing that we have to ask the Lord daily too.
Yeah.
Please keep Satan away from me today. Let me not embarrass you, Lord.
Isn't it sad, Sandy, and I hadn't thought about this till you were just saying this, that so many people, the enemy is destroying their testimony just by them not sharing.
I know.
Just by them not being willing to share what they've walked through and how the Lord has provided and walked alongside them. And man, it just to use your voice to tell your story.
I know.
And that is a victory over Satan for every single one of us when we share our story of
Jesus. I
think
you're right.
Yeah.
Yes.
When we get to share a testimony.
And even with Turning Point. You know, I'm impulsive. So the first thing I want to do, I want to see how I can get more involved in Turning Point. And then dawned on me, you can do everything that Turning Point does right here.
Where you are.
Where Sagemont is, where my community around us is,
yeah.
And I don't have to join any organization. Yeah. God has given me the blessing of being able to say things, and so I need to use that and do it. So I'm excited. It breaks my heart. I literally weep when I see the people... the people that do these terrible things, it makes me weep for them, sometimes more for their families, because I know, and you know, what their families have to be going through. Mm-hmm. That's the worst devastation that you can ever receive, is you've lost your child. Mm-hmm. And when you lose your child, if he or she has done something that's that terrible, your heart and your life is pretty much destroyed forever, but God, he's always there. And you get into a church that can wrap you up in love, mm-hmm. and love on you and give you that peace that you can't get anyplace else.
Yeah, that's the beautiful thing, is the Lord redeems all. He redeems all this stuff. That's where that hope comes from that you were talking about, that gives us the strength from the Lord to continue to do the things that he has called us to do. And that's what you're doing. You're such an amazing example of someone that is walking in his hope and his strength every day to keep getting up and saying, Lord, what do you have for me today? And just looking to him to lead you and guide you. And you're making a difference in so many people's lives.
Everything
by saying yes to that.
Definitely different. You know, I get up some days, I have no idea, and then something amazing or terrible might happen in that day, but God's still there.
Yeah.
And you are right. I mean, we have to use what few gifts that we have. All of us have gifts.
Mm-hmm.
We just need to figure out how to use them.
Absolutely. Well, one thing I want to do before we end is, if you haven't guessed, Sandy loves to hang out with people and chat. And I so often think someone is just looking for someone that will listen, that can empathize, not just sympathize, but actually has walked through things and can go, I walked through that, or I am currently walking through that right now. And I know you are a person that is very willing to sit with people.
Absolutely.
And talk with people. And so if you are somebody that's watching or listening You can reach out to me. I can get you connected to Sandy, or you'll see her in the hallways at church, walking around or in service and that kind of stuff. Please just go up to her and say, hey, I heard your testimony. Can we grab coffee? Hey, I heard, can we just sit for a few minutes and talk? I know that you are very willing.
Absolutely.
And find joy in getting to sit and encourage and share your story and encourage others in their walk.
You know, I'll end it with one little miracle. I love John Mark Benson and Lori.
Mm-hmm.
And I was out of the country when he had his surgery. And I was so worried. And when I came home, I called Lori and she said, yes, I could come to the hospital. Mm-hmm. Well, when I got there, he still couldn't speak. They had just taken the intubation off of him. But the first thing he did, there was that big smile. But I saw him, struggle for a week or two and had a hard time focusing. And I was so afraid. And I kept begging the Lord, Lord, please bring him back to us the way he was. He's back.
He is.
He is back great. 100% yeah. on the trip. His mean wit and funny wit yep. was everywhere.
Yep.
And then the other person that I miss so much, that everybody at Sagemont loves so much, was Abe Daly. He was the most sweet, godly man. And we lost him way too soon. But I know that we'll see him again one day because I knew him. And there was a verse that I think this may be my favorite verse. I change from
it's
day
hard.
To day.
Yes.
Yeah, and minute to yes. minute. But Isaiah 41:10 says, do not fear, for I'm with you. Don't be anxious. Look around and know that I am your God. I will strengthen you. Surely I will help you. You have to ask. Surely I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. That verse gives me strength Absolutely. Every single day.
That's right.
And
to be able to walk in a way that shows that we believe that.
I hope people know I believe. I put it in their face
yeah,
enough.
You know, it's like, hey, I believe that he's upholding me. I believe
yes,
that he, I don't have to be
is.
Anxious. I can look. And see how good, what a great encouragement for all of us to trust God's word.
I know.
And apply it and walk it out.
Yes.
I love that. Thank you.
My doctor did tell me recently that I was his star pupil.
See?
And
look at you.
I told him there's only one reason.
Amen. And what an amazing, I love that you're getting to use your life.
Me
that
too.
All of us should. Our lives are testimonies, but man, that you have. This one that you are purposely giving right back to him and giving him the glory for it.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming and finishing up. This was the second one. So go back and watch the first one. Your whole life is just a beautiful testimony.
Thank you.
Of the Lord. And I love that you're giving him honor and glory.
I appreciate it.
So thank you so much for hanging out today.
Thank you.
And we will see you next time on Table Talk.